Galesburg's Morning News.
Good morning. It is 8:14. Galesburg's Morning News, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, Tyler Bachman. All right, 1974, first year of the high school football playoffs in the state of Illinois. Class 2A was what? Was there five at that first
five.
Yeah, five classes. Class 2A, the Alexis Cardinals. What's really strange about this, Jim and I were just talking about the fact that at that time it was not easy to get into the playoffs. Number one, you had to be a conference winner then based on your record. But that year you had three teams from the same conference got in, which I don't think ever happened again. I mean, it's different the way it's set up now. But you even might have had a conference winner that didn't get in, or a team with an 8-1 record like Jim was talking about. But the Alexis Cardinals that year, one of three Little Six teams that got in along with Galva and Rova, beat Rova in the first round, went on and got to the state championship game in Class 2A, lost to a very good Decatur St. Teresa team, and they got down there numerous times. I was in 74. You were a semifinalist in 77 and numerous other playoff appearances for the Alexis Cardinals under head coach John Elder, who joins us this morning. Coach, thanks for coming in with us. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Nice to come.
Well, Jim and I were talking about this, how kind of it worked, because there was only at that time started with five classes, then bumped up to six, but only 16 teams in each class were chosen initially. Is that right?
That's right. And it was the first year it was set up, and the brackets were established before the season ever started by conferences. And the conference champions obviously were automatic winner entrance, and then they picked the other people based on points and record and so forth. And we were fortunate, turned out with Galvin Rova from our league, the three of us beat each other throughout the season, and we had a plan where the team that gave up the fewest points of the tri-champs was the conference rep, and that happened to be us. And we turned around and played Rova the first game, and Rova was the only team that scored on us during the year, and we ended up beating them.
Not that game they didn't score, though.
No. Well,
21-0, I think it was.
Right, like but that. Then yeah. We went on, and we're fortunate to be able to get down to ISU at that point.
Mm-hmm. John, it was a whole new world at that point, because there had not been any high school playoffs. Many people that weren't around then probably think that's crazy, because basketball had playoffs for years. How did the whole ball get rolling into the football playoffs?
Well, there were a group of coaches that had seen it operate in other states and so forth, and thought it would be good for Illinois, and it has been good for Illinois in many respects. It's been bad for high school football in some respects. Scheduling-wise, it's been a boondoggle and caused tremendous problems in that respect, because everyone tries to schedule to get at least five wins anymore, particularly preferably six if they can. But it was a groundwork, and to be quite honest with you, when they met with the Illinois High School Association, they had different plans in mind, and Liz Astroth, who was director of the IHSA at that time, anticipated this was coming, and to be quite honest with you, he says, well, I've got a plan. He pulled out of his drawer, and said, put it to the group, and it looked like a workable plan, and they went from there. And then, of course, as most things in athletics today, everyone wanted more, so consequently, then they went to six classes, then eventually they went to eight classes, and 32 people, and so forth, and now then at least 50% of the schools make it into the playoffs. So
how long was the process? I mean, did the talk of it, did this start back in the 60s, or when kind of did the whole process start?
When the two-class basketball started in 72, that pretty much fired the group up, and they took the lead from there. And it was inevitable then that it was going to come to pass, because basketball had split up and so forth, and they had the championship for years. And the football people were excited, because in those days, they were the whole show. You know, we had a Wednesday game, if you remember right. We started on a Wednesday, and everything was high school football for that particular week. And you turn around and played on Saturday, which was tough, but it wasn't that tough for high school youngsters, because particularly at our level, because the emotions were so high that carried the winners over through the next, you know, overcome the fatigue, so to speak, on Friday. And I always figured that, you know, the bigger schools suffered more from it than we did in many respects at our level, because we played with a bunch of youngsters that were good people and respectable athletes for our level, but not the kind of athletes that the 5A people had at that point. And it was always difficult for large youngsters from smaller schools to come back on Saturday and play than it was for the other people because they just didn't recover as quickly. And so, consequently, we always felt that we had an advantage at that particular point based on the type of youngster that we played versus if we were someone who had large youngsters, let's say.
I suppose it was harder on the coaches and probably the media in that turnaround from a Wednesday to Saturday trying to gather all this information and get a game plan together in 2 days' time.
Right. And the early on, though, you had a general idea as to who you were going to be playing based on the preset brackets. And so you had a chance to prepare a little bit on a group of teams, let's say, because you knew your conference was going to be playing someone. We were very fortunate at that time because the way it was set up then, the lower team on the bracket was always the home team, and we were the lowest team in the bracket, in the upper bracket, and so we were fortunate. As long as we won, we got to keep playing at home. We played all of our games at home, and that was exciting for everyone. It was exciting because it was new. It was the biggest thing about it was it brought the area together. You know, I've told so many stories about the fact that the people from our opponents, the fans from our opponents' schools that were the loudest rebels and cheers for the other team, they were the same ones for us when the playoffs started. Yeah. And that was great because they bound together. And to be quite honest with you, we were quite proud of it because we always felt that the Little Six played very good high school football, and the fact that we got three people in and the fact that we were able to advance showed people that that was the case. And I think it's gone on to show now the Lincoln Trail Conference, which represents the same area. They've made a great showing in the playoffs over the last few years as well. So, you know, the youngsters in this area have responded well to it.
Yeah, that's one of those things that's interesting. You mentioned, Coach, how the other area fans would kind of get behind your team. Because, you know, we've seen that myself with Rovin in 1976 and Basketball Hill. People say, oh, yeah, you guys played Mount Pulaski in the championship. Yeah. And the same for me and a lot of us growing up. We also remember, oh, yeah, Alexis, the very first football championship, played Decatur St. Teresa. Just one of those that we all kind of remember. And then, you know, back in the local team as they went
on. No question about it. It was great for the area. And another thing about it, in those days, there weren't that many games that you were the only game in town, you know, the only, and the area people responded to crowd wise and so forth. We had some great turnouts.
Mm-hmm. You didn't play many 42 to 35 games, John. You always preached defense first, didn't you?
No, we were what I would call pretty much a ball control team, and we felt we played good defense, and consequently, we felt the type of youngsters that we had, that's what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Talking with former Alexis head coach John Elder joining us here this morning as the football season gets ready to kick off. You know, we were talking about how the playoffs have developed over the years, and you said in some ways it's gotten worse. Are you of the opinion, are you to the point, it's like, okay, you got more than 50% of the teams in, just let them all in, or do we need to cut it back and just let the good teams in? Because a 5-4 team, with the exception of if you're playing in the Suburban Catholic League and go 5-4, that might be a good team that can win a game or two in the playoffs. Otherwise, I don't know that there's been a 5-4 team that's won a first-round game, and normally they get stomped. Yeah.
Well, I might get ostracized for this, but I would like the original plan again because it's become a tournament rather than a playoff, and consequently, there are some mismatches, no question about it, and it's still great for communities when they get in and get involved, and that's good, but as it is in other activities and so forth, everyone wants to be involved. I'm definitely not an advocate of everyone being in the playoffs by any means, for a number of reasons. First of all, you would have to cut your regular season schedule back a week at least, probably. That would harm your lower-level teams, so forth. But it is what it is. Now, Iowa this year has cut theirs back to where they only have 16 teams in each level. So we'll see. I don't know what kind of backlash they've got from that at all. But it doesn't happen very often. You know, after you've done something one time, everyone's of the mindset, well, we've always done it that way. And so that's kind of the way it is. I doubt very much if it's cut back. The biggest problem now, as we said, is the scheduling. And just like, Galesburg's a prime example. You know, last year they had to play someone from Michigan. This year they're playing Marion, Illinois. Travel is a big problem. It's a problem for schools. It's not a problem for people. People that are interested in the football team will go anywhere, just like they will with any sport. You know, they'll go to watch them. They'd rather go. Like, it's destroyed, not destroyed, but it's broken down areas and what would be traditional rivalries in many cases, because with the size changes in schools and so forth, people have opted to be into different leagues, et cetera, so you don't play the same people. But in the same light, it kind of rolls back at times to where everyone comes back to the same level, you know. We look at people around this area, and we go back, we old-timers, I guess you'd say, go back to the Little Six Conference, which the last year was 1976, I believe, or 75. But anyway, some of those people are rolling back now to where they would compete with each other. But on the other side of the coin, it would be it's difficult for youngsters. Say, for instance, Alexis played Knoxville every year. Now then, if we still had a school in Alexis and hadn't played Knoxville for 40 years, our people would be intimidated a little bit by playing a larger school like that on a regular basis. But that's just kind of the way it is. But it's worked out fine, and it still has a lot of excitement about it. No question about that.
I would guess you had to be a little sad when the first time Alexis was not playing as Alexis as a football team, but it worked out pretty well that year because they joined the old Warren School, became United, and it was interesting because without a number of players on both of those teams, especially a couple of the kids from the Alexis School, they wouldn't have won that state title. They happened to come together at the same time. That had to be pretty exciting for you.
Yes, they did. They did, and if you recall, that team lost their first two games that year. Which was a surprise to everyone based on the talent they had. But it takes a while for things to mesh. And they had the proper people in place to bring them together. And the youngsters melded together very well. And, yeah, it was a great experience for people. And the people at that time got quite – even in our community stayed very excited about it. And still – but, you know, that's another thing that's happened this – with the, I'm going on a different vein, but on the consolidation, you know, there's not near the excitement in the small communities on Friday as there was when there was going to be a football game at their place that night. You know, it's just different because people lose touch of things when it's not next door, so to speak.
We're talking about some high school football with former longtime Alexis head football coach John Elder. Well, gosh, not only was he, we've talked about this a number of times. These days are long gone, but at one point, head football coach, athletic director, principal, superintendent, teacher, I don't know, lunchroom attendant, did you cook? What, I mean, janitor? I mean, no. You did it all, John. Those days are long gone, though.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that was an enjoyable time. It worked out well. I was, you know, worked out well for us. And as far as I know, worked out well for the community.
Well, there were a number of you guys. I remember Gene Tinker in Roseville for years did the same capacity, and that was just what was done, I guess, in some of the schools.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, the smaller schools were, be quite honest with you, looking for a way to cut dollars, as they still are. And and it worked out well, and we could, you know, with the staff we had and so forth at our place, they were quite cooperative and helpful, and it just seemed to work.
Well, that was the question I was going to ask. Do you wish you were still a superintendent and having to deal with these budgets with the state of Illinois nowadays?
No, I'm glad I'm not involved, and I try to stay as far away from it as I can.
Don't blame you. Well, Coach, we were talking a little bit off the air. My goodness, you have a busy fall because you're watching football all over the state, and this is, we're just talking family members, and you can't even get to all of them because you have so many family members that are still involved in football. Of course, a lot of us knew about your son Pat, who had coached at Sherrard at one time. I realize he'd been up at, was it Richmond Burton for his 11th year now?
That's right. This will be B's 11th year there.
Wow.
And we have four grandsons playing at three different schools this year. And Pat coaching, and then we've got one youngster playing in JFL. So we spend quite a bit of time on the road in the fall, and we try to get to as many activities as we can. Even at times, my wife goes one place and I go somewhere else. But more often than not, we stay together. And there's sometimes There's a time when Rochelle was playing in a certain area and Richmond Burton was playing in a certain area. I could double dip, so to speak. I could get to one, but she won't ride with me between games, so she stays at one spot. But that doesn't happen very often.
Do you miss being on the sidelines at all?
No, I really don't. I really don't. I enjoy the games. I go to one area of the stands and stay by myself throughout the game. And it's interesting because I think I have a general idea what people are trying to do, so I can anticipate a little bit what's happening, what's going to happen, and so forth, or what they're going to try and do. Let's put it that way. And that makes it very interesting. But I enjoy it as a spectator. I would say this. I'm more nervous as a fan than I ever was as a coach. You know, I guess as a coach, you think you get yourself prepared to do the things you need to do, and it takes itself from there. But there's too many things that you just don't anticipate happening, let's say, when you're a fan.
I suppose you feel you have more control as a coach than as a fan. You've got no control.
That's right. And
yeah. Although some fans think they do.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. And that's another reason I stay pretty much to myself as much as I can when I watch the games. But it's still enjoyable. You know, I'll be starting my 66th season as involved with high school football in some fashion. And during that time, other than one year when I was going to college and had to work, I've been to a high school football game about every Friday night during that period of time. So it's enjoyable. We enjoyed it. It's been great for our family. It's a great experience for young people. I still think it's a great game. We're under, you know, we're bombarded right now from many different angles. But in many cases, it's unwarranted. We think, as football people anyway. And I think that many precautions have been taken to overcome these things with the youngsters, and in the long run, I feel very definite that football will survive. It's going to change some, which probably maybe is for the good, but I think we'll come through this too.
Still a fan? I mean, will you spend Saturdays watching college football, Sunday watching the NFL?
I watch college football, yes, mm-hmm. but I watch the NFL, but I can live without it. Yeah. I'm more of a high school college fan. Matter of fact, I had season tickets to the University of Iowa for 42 years. We didn't go every year after we quit coaching and our youngsters got involved. I kept the tickets just for the longevity, but we had youngsters that had played for us that took them from us and so forth. But anyway, I enjoy college football a lot. It's a different game, no question about that. I guess I'm that way with anything, but you see many things that you wonder why they get paid so much money for yeah. some of the things they do. But I'm sure that people wondered that about us when we were coaching too.
And the equipment's come a long way. I know my dad started playing when they didn't even have the face mask, you know. Oh, yeah. Boy, how far that's come.
Well, I never played with a face mask in high school. Not that that was a big deal, but that would be one way that would help to solve the problems we've got today. I'll tell you that. If they didn't have a face mask on, people wouldn't be using their head for things.
Absolutely.
No question about that. And I don't see too many people my age that were too disfigured from playing high school football.
And there's been talk of that. I remember, I think we talked about on the air, saw a story one morning where they were actually talking about, just for that reason, getting rid of the face mask so that it would prevent kids from using their head.
I don't think it'll ever happen because, you know, they went from the first face mask they had with just a single bar to now where they have the entire cage, let's say. Yeah. But again, it's something to talk about, I guess.
Yep, absolutely. What are you most looking forward to this season, in particular in high school football?
Well, I enjoy... obviously, you enjoy seeing your people be successful. Mm-hmm. No question about that. We get to as many games as we can. We like to watch everyone. We hope that they come through the games healthy. I would say that with our grandsons and with Patrick's team has been pretty successful over the years, and so we cheer for them. And we've had, back when his team's been in the playoffs a number of times, and they advanced to the state championship game one year, and it's always fun to be involved at playoff time with our families and that sort of thing, get together when the kids are involved or Patrick's involved in the playoffs, and we always we enjoy that part of it. We enjoy the social aspect of it, and we enjoy You know, my wife doesn't enjoy traveling quite as much as I do, but we like to go. We enjoy it a lot.
Well, and I know it's not just all about football for you, because we'll see you at a Silver Streak basketball game. We'll see you on the floor helping out with a 3-point contest at the state tournament. So you're just kind of a sports guy in general.
Well, I try to stay involved in things. You know, when I retired, I've been involved with volunteer with Coaches Association for a number of years, and I felt that coaching had been good to us and good to our family, and I wanted to do something that would benefit other coaches, and so I've worked in that particular aspect with the Coach Association to do some things to bring benefits to coaches, we think. And yeah, people say, why you do that? I said, well, it kind of keeps me around people I like to be around. And so I enjoy the involvement, and I like to go to things, and I like to watch youngsters that are, you know, performing, and it's just a fun time.
Throw out a couple other names for us, John. Any particular coaches you enjoyed coaching against or getting together with afterwards through the years?
Well, you know, going way back, of course, you know, I've had a number of great friends that coached and so forth. Denny Larson, who was at Knoxville, Denny started at our place. Denny did his student teaching at Lexus and then coached there for a year or so before he went to Knoxville. I've been involved, and Denny obviously had great success as a coach. We've just enjoyed it. Bill Whalen over Rova, we always mattered back and forth and still have a great relationship. And you'd see a different side of people when in a social aspect than you do on the football field. You know, our families have been able to get together over the years with different people our biggest rival was always Alito. There wasn't any question about that. So we didn't socialize too much with them. But then when I went to help Patrick at Sherrard, Alito was a big rival of theirs. And so it worked out well. But it's always good to be involved, and it brings out the competitive fire in you. And that's a great part about it.
Yeah, when I was in school, Will Bavery was not welcome in Roseville at all. But then I worked with him in broadcast, and he was a whole lot of fun. You know, so.
That's right. Will, we never compete. We competed against Will one time in regular season, and we had the opportunity. Each of us would have won. We would have played a time or two in the playoffs, but we never do. But we had some great family times with Will and Kathy over the years, and their people are different when they're out of the when they've got on a different hat. Let's put it that way.
Well, Coach, thanks so much for taking some time with us this morning. Appreciate it. Some great memories, and I know we're all looking forward to a new season of high school football kicking off. Coach, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Galesburg's Morning News with Tom Meredith and Jim Lee.